the last 12 weeks, 12 shiurim, we discussed five cases where you're allowed to keep the object that you find. Well, we spoke about if it's been there, obviously it's been there a long time, you're allowed to keep it. If it was a zuka shayam, it was swept away by the sea where no one could get it, you're allowed to keep it. If it's something lost where or found where it's rove akum, most of the people there are akum, who do not keep the rules of Hashavas Aveda, you're allowed to keep it. If it has no simin, you're allowed to keep it when we assume that the owners know that they lost it and there have been yush already, like the dollars, the dollar bill without the scattered money. And the last we spoke about was an Aveda Midas, where the owner obviously lost it on purpose, like you put it in the garbage can. So that's another case where you're allowed to keep it. There are cases of Aveda Das where we said there was a machlokes, whether you're allowed to keep it or you should just leave it there. And there were some cases of Aveda Das where we said everyone agreed that you just leave it there, you're not allowed to keep it, like if you give something to a child, something lost by the child. So that's how we spent the first 12 shiurim. We briefly spoke about how your chaser can acquire things, and how it does not acquire things, and then we discussed a little bit about children. So the next block of shiurim, we're going to discuss cases where you aren't allowed to keep it, but where you can just leave it on the ground. You don't have to pick it up and do the mitzvah Shavas Aveda. And then the third block of shiurim, then we'll talk about what happens if it's something that you really have to return, what those laws are. So tonight's case, I already gave away the answer to some extent. Tonight's case is that you're walking down the street and you find in a Jewish or Frum neighborhood, and you see a coat that's in a mud hole. It's filled with mud, and you see it has a simen on it, right? So it doesn't have any, and it hasn't been there for a long time, and it's not a zuka shalyan because it's there in the mud hole for anyone to take. You know, it just rained and you see that it's in the mud. And for you to take it would be uncomfortable. It's a muddy old coat. Even though it has a simon, you can see their initials, or you can see that it certainly has this, an old coat that probably has simonim on it. Is there any hector we can think of to allow you not to have to take it? And certainly, it's right, we're not talking you're allowed to keep it. Right, that's out. We're talking under what circumstances. What arguments can you use to say that I don't want to get involved with this messy coat? So the Mishnah, on Chaptes Amadeus, the end of the Mishnah says like this: Matzah sack or kupa. If someone found a sack or a box, the chol dover she'ain darker lethal, anything that is embarrassing for him, it's a genai for this person to take. Rashi says it's an adam chashev, he's an important, distinguished person. And ain darkelito kupa shalal lahachnisa menachot, he doesn't take his own packages in from outside. So balochis hareza lo yitol, he does not have to pick it up. He's parted from hashavas aveira. Now why is that? The Gemara says on daf lamed minan imili. How do we know that a chasha person has this heter that he's not obligated to pick up an object that he would not normally pick up? The Tanur Rabbanu, because we learned in a brayta. V'salamta, the pasuk says, v'salamta, right? The pasuk really says, don't think that you should be v'salamta. Don't think that you should, that will hide your thoughts on it. Right, that's it. But the Gemara, they make the drashas, take the pasuk out of context. So let's see the pasuk inside. L'siris chamar achicha shero noflim v'derech v'salamta mehem. Right, this is the pasuk on this din of Hashavas Aveda, and then the next parasha talks about, which we'll see a little bit later, about if someone's animal fell down. But the pasuk that we'll talk about, the first pasuk by Hashavas Aveda, so Zira Shar Chicha Avseni Gachim, don't see your friend's ox or his lamb Nidachim lost, V'talamta Mehem, and you hide your eyes from them. Pasha to shave and lachash, and you should return them to your brother. Right, so it's saying, don't see them wandering and hide your eyes from them. But the pasuk, if you take it out of context, says, v'his alamta mehem, you can hide your eyes from them. Okay, why was the pasuk phrased in a way that you could pull it out of context and say, Vitalamtani, and you will hide your eyes from them. So so that's what the Braisa is dealing with. Before I forget, this year is sponsored anonymously as Alkara Satov for someone's health, and it should continue to be even better. Okay, the Tanu Rabbanan quotes the, this is after the Braisa now. Vitalamta, right, the Pasuk says, you shall hide from them. Why is it, why is the Pasuk have such a lotion? So from that we learn, Pa'anim, Shata Misalim, sometimes you may hide, but Pa'anim, Shiyata Misalim, sometimes you're not allowed to hide. Whole case is, when are you allowed to hide yourself? Normally you have to pick up an Aveda. When is it that you are not, when you're not obligated to return an Aveda? So the Braisa says three cases. Hoya Kohen, if the person was a Kohen, Vihibes Hadvaras, and the lost object was in a cemetery, so the Kohen's not allowed to go in, so he doesn't have to return it. Or he wasn't a Zokin, he was a Choshev person, an old person, literally. And it's not his, it's beneath his dignity to take up that object. Or the third case, if the time he would lose doing it would be worth more than the value of the object. So in those three cases, you don't have to pick up the Aveda. Now the Gemara says that we really only need the pasuk for the middle case, the case we're discussing tonight. We'll discuss the other cases in future weeks. But the drasha of Yisalamta is needed for this middle case of Zokein ve'ena lefi chavado. If he's elderly and it's not his kavod to pick it up, so then he's not obligated to. Now this answers your question. Like, you had asked if there's a mitzvah to do, so what do you mean it's beneath your kavod to do a mitzvah? Well, the pasuk saying there's no mitzvah in this case. The Torah says, if it's beneath your dignity, I'm not obligating you to pick up this object for another person. Right? That's the Torah's pasuk. It's an extra word in the pasuk, of unusual phrase, and that's what we learn from there. Now the Gemara goes further and explains the way of defining that. Amar Rava, Rava said, like, how do you decide, okay, so you're a dignified person, some dignified people will pick up objects, some won't pick up objects, how do you decide if this is something that you should pick up or not? So Rava said, if it's something, if it were your own, you would return it, you would go out to get it. So if it's your friends that you find out there, you should always also take care of it. If it was yours, it was your donkey that was falling on the road and needed to be reloaded up, so then if you do it for yours, you should also do it for your friends, because like I said, the pasuk is lamtas in both places, in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda and the mitzvah of loading up a donkey that falls down. So in both those cases, that's the litmus test. If it was your object that had fallen, if it's your object that was lost, you would go out in the rain and take it, so then you should do the same thing for your friends. But that's what Rava says. So let's see the halacha, and we'll see the rest of the Gemara later. The first thing we have to decide is who is it that could be called a zokein, right? Zokein v'enos lefi chavado. What's called a zokein? What's it mean that he's a zokein? So it's really a machlokas rishonim, and some rishonim say it's very limited. It's limited to a talmid chacham. That's what it's talking about. A talmid chacham to go out and bend down and pick up objects and carry them around like a cat. Right, to have a Rosh Hashiva go walk around with a cat that's lost, a stray cat, to pick it up, so that would be beneath his dignity. He would never pick up his own cat, so I mean, he wouldn't have a cat, but he wouldn't be walking around with cats. So that's a bizarre HaTorah. It's against a Kavod HaTorah for him to pick it up. So they limit this halacha to a Talmud Chacham. It's a din in Kavod HaTorah. It's not Kavod HaTorah that a Talmud Chacham should be carrying around these types of objects that he wouldn't carry of his own. The Shulchan Aruch, though, and I think this is the accepted halacha, the Shulchan Aruch expands it to Chacham a chacham, a zakei mechubad, or a dignified old person. And the Farshim say, once you're saying dignified, he doesn't have to be old anymore. It could be that he is dignified. They say, because of his position, he might be the, maybe because he's a gevir, he's very wealthy, right? That's, and he has certain standards, he doesn't do certain things because he's so wealthy, or he has an important position, he's president of the corporation, he's president of a shul, and a president of a shul wouldn't do such a thing. It has nothing to do with wealth. I'm saying it doesn't have to do with wealth, it's just from the prestige of his position or her position, something a woman wouldn't do. Women have a certain dignity that they wouldn't carry around certain objects that are beneath their dignity to carry around. So that's all included in this halacha. The way the Shulchan Aruch HaRav puts it, afila misha eino tam achacham, even if he's not a tam achacham, hula zakeh mechubad, and he's not even a dignified old person. Right? The Shulchan Aruch says those two words. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, the Baal Tanya says, even if he's not those two things, el shehuish niklan machmas maila cheres, he's dignified for another reason. Could go on, oh, because of his wealth. Oh, mishpachor, he has, he's from a famous family. Or double after anything else. Because of that, he's embarrassed what other people will say, who know his stature in society, and they would say, oh, this person is doing that, and he'd be embarrassed because of that. So in all of those cases he is exempt from this mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. For Yitzchak, who has a lot of tshuvas on this whole sugya, we'll hear from him later, also says, clearly he says that it's mukhruch to learn like this Rambam and the Ran, that it doesn't have to be a chacham. That would be a kavanah Torah issue. Here the issue is initially it's alamta, it's a gzeres hakasa. What do you need a pasuk of the alamta? If it's just telling you kavanah Torah, we know that you have to keep kavanah Torah properly. So it must be that it's not talking about a Talmud Chacham, it's talking about any person who has dignity for any other reason, and it would be beneath his dignity or her dignity to pick up that certain object. So there's this exemption that they're not required to perform the mitzvah Shavas Aveda, they have to leave it out there in the street. Now, there is, if there's a way for that Tama Chacham to, or that dignified person to show someone else that there's an object there, or, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, when, if he sees the name on that object and he knows who it belongs to, I'm exempt. That just means he doesn't have to pick it up and do something that's not dignified for him. But if he knows whose it is, he certainly should call up that person and tell him your object is out there. This is a heter that he does not have to put himself into a compromising situation in order to perform the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. That's a special pasuk that tells us that he has this exemption. Now, we saw from the Gemara that a litmus test of that is to see, would you do it if it was your object? If this was your own object, would you go pick it up? Right? The Shulchan Aruch paskins is, he says, Amid Daito, a person should estimate, if this was his, and last would he return it to himself. In the same way, he's obligated to return his friend's object. If he would not forget about his covenant, even if it was his own object, and say, look, I have a certain amount of stature, I'm not going to go pick up that object, even though it's mine. So, kach b'shachavero, in a chai lahav, so the same thing will be that he doesn't have to return his friends if his friends is sitting out there.
I'm confused by the structure of machzirin la'atzma. My keys, am I returning them to myself? Isn't this a Hebrew idiom?
Well, I mean, like, would you go outside and would you go after it?
Exert yourself.
Right. Would you do something, put yourself in a compromising situation? Would you go and get it? Right. And the truth is, the Smad points out, why did he say it like that? Because there might be a difference between would you go out, or if your object is lost, that's different than saying, I don't want to get involved with it at all. Right here, it's, you have to make it equal. That if your object was lost, would you go out and get it? So you say, well, I wouldn't bother with it if it was my object. So then you can say you don't have to bother with the other person's object. We want to make it that it's equal. Okay? We have a dirty coat. And see, we're not Rosh Yeshivas here to simply say, okay, it's it's not our thing that you carry anything. Right? Well, let's say, but we are normal and it's beneath our dignity maybe to walk around with it's filled with mud. You don't want to walk around with that. So at first glance it's saying, okay, so let's apply this litmus test. Right? If it was my coat that got flown into the mud, or my yarmulke that flew into the mud, would I go after it? Yeah, maybe because I don't want to walk around without a yarmulke, but let's say it's your hat, and your hat flew out into the mud. Would you go after it and get it, and you're walking out with a muddy hat? Maybe yes. So if you would, so then if someone else's hat is out there in the mud, you also have to walk out into the mud to get his hat. But if you would say, oh, it's so muddy, I'm not going to go into the mud to get my hat. So then you'd have a hetter to say, so I'm not going to return that other person's hat because I wouldn't do it for myself. I don't have to do it for that person. Well, that's Lasaru, we would say, because right? That's what the Gemara says, and Shulchan Aruch Hasnas. Whatever you would get for yourself, you have to get for your friends. And if you wouldn't get it for yourself, so then you don't have to get it for your friends. Right? That's what the Gemara said. However, it's not so simple. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says, why is it that you don't want to go out to the mud to pick up that object? Is it really because you're afraid that people will look at you and you'll be embarrassed from them looking at you? Or is it because you just don't want to bother doing it? It's a tircha. I don't want to bother with it. And if it was mine, it was, my nice pen that I lost, I wouldn't get it also because I didn't bother getting that. I'll buy another one. If I'd rather buy another pen than take the bother of walking out there in the mud and getting it, or doing whatever I have to do. I'm not dressed properly, I have to go walk out and I'm not dressed properly to get it. I don't want to bother with that. I'll take back that last section. I'm not dressed properly, we'll talk about soon. But I don't want to bother with it. I don't want to bother with it because it's a tircha. I have to take it and put a sign up that if it was mine, I wouldn't do it. So I don't want to bother with someone else's. So Shulchan Aruch Rav says, that's not a heter. The heter here is, would you not return it because you don't want to be embarrassed carrying something like that around? And if it was yours, you wouldn't want to put yourself in that compromising situation of carrying this football. If you're 80 years old and you don't usually carry footballs around, people will laugh at you. No, he's carrying a football. And if it was your grandson's football, your own football, you would leave it there also because you would be embarrassed to pick it up. Right, so that's the heter. The heter is that you don't take, you wouldn't take your thing because you'd be embarrassed to take it, so then you don't have to take someone else's. That's zokin vein l'pishavodo. But if it's because you wouldn't bother picking it up, your own up, because you'd rather just call and order a new one than take the bother of going out into the mud and getting it, you're, like they say, you're vacho and bimimono. You're not so thrifty with your money. You end up, it's lost, I'm not going to even bother it. So that, you could do with your own money that. You can say, okay, you don't want to bother with your own money, so you go buy a new one. But if someone else is out there, you have a mitzvah HaShavas Aveda. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch Rav said. This litmus test, he's saying, isn't absolute. It's only a litmus test to decide, to determine, is this something that would truly be embarrassing for you to take. If it was your own, you'd be embarrassed to be seen in public carrying this object, so then you don't have to take someone else's object home and be embarrassed in public. If it's something that was yours, you would take anyway, and either because it wouldn't be embarrassing or you don't mind the embarrassment for such an object, so then you're obligated to take your friend's object that is out there. So when we get to this dirty coat, We have to see, why is it that you would not want to take that dirty coat? Right? Is it because it's embarrassing to walk around with your hands all dirty and, you know, people will look at you, they'll laugh at you, and right? So if it was yours, you would leave it there not to have that embarrassment. So then the halacha is, if it's someone else's also, you don't have to take it, because that's putting yourself in a compromising situation. You never walk around with such filthy, dirty clothes or hats or things, and it'd be very embarrassing. So then you're allowed to leave it. But that would be the halacha of Zochim Shein and Tifa Vado. But if the reason you wouldn't take it if it was yours is because you have plenty of money and I'd rather just buy a new one than go pick it up, then anyway I'll have to get it cleaned and it'll be all tircha, I don't want to bother with it, it's a bother for me, it's a tircha for me. So if that's why you wouldn't take your own dirty coat out from the mud hole, you will still be obligated to take your friend's coat out of there. I think that's the chiddush that comes out of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Right, I mean, his lashon is ki b'shalohu v'shoi levater amamon. The end of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Ki b'shalohu v'shoi levater amamon m'neitar gufo. His own property, you can be generous with and say, look, it's not worth the bother to me. I'd rather buy a new one and leave this one out there. I'm not going to bother going out in the rain or whatever tirchit is to get it. But if it's your friends out there in the mud or in the rain and it's there, so, and it's not that you'd be embarrassed to take it, it's just you don't want to bother going out in the rain to get it, you have to. The Torah only cares about your dignity, but not if it's a tirchit and some physical bother to go out there. That the Torah isn't allowing here. You have to go out in the rain and take it, even though you wouldn't go out in the rain for your friends, because it's a mitzvah hashavas aveda. Right? You're driving in the car and you see something out there and it's pouring, raining, and it's across the street and for you, and you say, yeah, I'll just buy a new one. Right? There are people like that. And so even though you would not take your own, but the other person's you have to take, because that's not a compromising situation. People walk in the rain, no one would think twice about it. You walk in the rain, so you got wet. But you don't want to do it because you don't want to get wet. So that's your own property you can treat that way. It might be about Pasha Shilam, maybe something to talk about. Your own property you can treat that way, but someone else's property you have to return. Right, so that's an exception one way. That even though we have this litmus test, whatever your own you would take, you have to take your friends, and whatever yours you wouldn't take, you could leave your friends out there. But if the reason you're not taking your own object is because you just don't mind spending the extra money and you don't want to bother, but to do a mitzvah, I say, of Hashavas Aveda, you are required to bother. So in this case of the muddy coat, I think it'll depend on why it is that you wouldn't take your own muddy coat in. Is it because I just am embarrassed walking around with that? Or is it because I don't want to get my hands dirty. I don't want to bother with it. So then you can say that about your own, but you can't say that about your friends. However, there might be another way out. This Pri Yitzchak later on in another tshuva says this rule isn't absolute in the other direction also. We just said it's not absolute in the direction that anything that you wouldn't take of your own. Now, is there some things that you might leave out there for of your own, but you still require to take your friend's object as a Shabbos Aveda, right? That's what we saw in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. He says it works the other direction also. There are some cases where you might even take your own object, but you're not obligated to take the object of someone else who's out there to do the mitzvah Shabbos Aveda. Because he says this rule, this litmus test, only applies to determine low-grade levels of embarrassment. Right? This is a low-grade level of embarrassment to carry this lady's coat. Right? So certain people, it'd be big bizarre for them to carry around a lady's coat. I mean, what are they carrying that around? To most of us, it wouldn't be. But to many people, it would be. You know, it could be to other things that would become more embarrassing. So that's why you have to have this litmus test. Well, if it was your, if you owned that lady's coat, it was your wife's, or you would take it, so then if someone else's, you should also take it. If you wouldn't even take your wife's coat that is out there, so then you don't have to take the other person's. But if it's a really, 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 the way he puts it, like a Nai Gadol, I think his logic, it's a big, it's something that's a really a big embarrassment, like you're not dressed. I think he means, I don't know, they're not dressed properly. So it's a way, you're dressed in a way that you wouldn't walk out in public, or you're undressed enough that you wouldn't want to be seen in public that way. But if it was your $1 million that you left outside, you'd run out for a second and get it anyway, because it's worth $1 million to do that. So he says a big trade that she says, in that case, you're not obligated to get out your friends. Because the Torah says that you're not obligated to put yourself in an embarrassing situation to pick up someone else's property. So if it's something that is so across the board that it's embarrassing for everyone, no one wants to walk out undressed to pick up someone's property or to do anything. So that's already poshut that you're not obligated to do so. The fact that you might do it for your own property because whatever reason you will do it because it's worth $1 million to embarrass yourself to get that object, but you're not obligated to do it for your friends. Item. But so that's a chiddush that he says. I'm not sure how far it goes, but perhaps it might go so far to say that if something is really filthy dirty, right, it's filthy dirty, it's something that ended up being in an animal pen, and it's really dirty, and something that no one in their right mind would want to be seen carrying around. Even if you might do it for your own because you have sentimental value, and no matter what it's worth, you would go take it out because it's you need it. It could be that you would not be obligated to take it if it's not yours, because if it's like a night gadol, it's something that's so compromising, it's something that would be so terribly embarrassing. You might do it for your own because it's worth that embarrassment, but this rule doesn't mean that you have to make yourself into a laughing stock to pick up that aveda. So, just reviewing this first part. We first defined that the zokin shein lefi chavada doesn't have to be that he's a talmid chacham. It doesn't have to be in Torah. It could be anyone that has a certain amount of dignity because of their position, the family, wealth, and for them it would be embarrassing to take up a certain object that to us it might not be embarrassing. They don't have to take it if it's something that they would leave if it was their own. If it's something that they wouldn't mind carrying if it was their own. An umbrella, a cane, something that would take their own, so then they should pick up the other person's also, because that's not a breach to their dignity. And to all of us, if it's something that we would be embarrassed to take, right? We all have our levels, our embarrassment levels, it'd be embarrassing for us to take, like this muddy coat that we're talking about. So if we wouldn't take that muddy coat because it's embarrassing to take, to walk around with such a muddy thing, so then we would say, Pasha, we'd say, well, if I would leave my own coat out there, so I certainly could leave my friend's coat out there. However, if the reason I would leave my own coat out there is because, it's not because I'm embarrassed, it's just because I don't want to bother myself, I don't want to get my feet dirty, I don't want to bother with it. So, and then, that doesn't help you, that doesn't exempt you from taking your friends. You can be generous with your own property, but if it's someone else's property, you have to return it to them. You have to take it and find its owner. And on the other hand, we said if the embarrassment would be very great, so great that it's obvious that no one would want to put themselves in such a situation. It could be, even though if for some reason you would do it for your own property because it's so important to you, you would still take your own property out in such a situation and such an object. If it's your friends, you might not have to put yourself in such a situation if it's like really, really filthy, dirty, that no one would want to touch such a thing, even with gloves, even with a stick, you wouldn't want to touch with a 10-foot pole, something like that. So then it could be that, in the spirit of is saying, that you're not obligated, even if you would use the 10-foot pole for your own property. Okay, so that's the first part of this year. For the second part, let's go back to the Gemara. And we're going to discuss if there's any mitzvah of Nima Shuras Hadin. Right? If you recall, in the first few shiurim, when we talked about if you find something that was in a section where it's mostly Akum that don't keep them. But you know whose it is. It has a name tag. So we said there's a mitzvah l'fnei mishur hasadin to return it anyway. Or as Zutah Shayam, we said there's a l'fnei mishur hasadin if it's an old object, but it has the person's name in it. It was lost a long time ago. There's still a mitzvah l'fnei mishur hasadin to return it. And we said, the poskim even would say that a besin would even force the person, if you find that object with a name in it, we're going to force you to return it, not with with sticks and putting him in jail, but with verbally, the besin would try to force a person, to convince a person to return an object, even though it's legally his, but it's a mislim mishur zedin. So the question here is there any mislim mishur zedin to, if you're dignified and you wouldn't normally pick up that object for yourself, we go lifnim mishur zedin and do the mitzvah shavas aveda, maybe like the case of when people in the sukkah went Israel. So is there any mitzvah like that? So the Gemara brings a ma'isa. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rav Yosi have a ka'oz of urcha. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rav Yosi, he's a Tana, was walking on the road. Hogabe ha'al gavra, he met a certain person. Have a dari pascha de upi. That person was carrying a bundle of wool. Uzvinu, he put it down to call mitzvah and was resting. Then when he finished his rest, he wanted to go on. Amale, the man said to Rabbi Yishmol Rav Yosef, Nalei, load me up. Now Rabbi Yishmol Rav Yosef doesn't usually pick up bundles of wood. It was embarrassing for him to pick up such a bundle of wood. So Amale, and once again, like we said, that the mitzvah of loading someone's animal also has an exemption of Zokein V'Shein Lati Chavar Oinga. There's a Shuvah Zerash that talks about whether you see from here that there's a mitzvah to load a person up, just like there's a mitzvah to load an animal up. But it was a compromising thing for him to do. It would be undignified for him to do it, and he didn't want to. So the man said to Shmuel Rav Yossi said, look, I can't pick it up for you, but I'll buy it from you. How much is the bundle of wood worth? And I'll buy it from you. I'd rather buy it than have to pick it up and give it to you. So Amalei Pagad Azuz, he says, it's worth half Azuz. So Rabbi Yishmael gave him that half Azuz. So Yagli Pagad Azuz of Afkara. He gave that half Azuz, and then Rabbi Yishmael Beryosi doesn't need that wood, so he made it Hefker. So the person saw that Rabbi Yishmael Beryosi had made it Hefker, he had relinquish ownership of it. So So the person took possession of it again. Look, it's ownerless, so I can take it from Hefker. So now the guy said, okay, can you help me load it up? It's mine again. So he said, okay, here's another Hefker. And he made it Hefker. He saw that he was going to try a third time to pick it up and make a kinyan on it. So Amarle said, this time Yishmael Rav Yossi said, it's hefker for everyone, I didn't make it hefker for you, you're not allowed to take it. So how that works exactly, we won't get involved with. So the Gemara asked, though, what did Rav Yishmael have to do anything for? Rav Yishmael Rav Yossi is certainly dignified, and he should not have been obligated at all. He should have just told the person, look, I'm sorry, I'm dignified, and I'm not obligated to help you. So the Gemara answered, Rav Yishmael b'Rav Yosi l'fnei mishur hasadin l'David. He was going l'fnei mishur hasadin. So he know, even though he was legally exempt, but he wanted to go beyond the letter of the law, and he wanted to help out that person anyway. Now the Rishonim look at this Gemara in two different ways. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, they simply see from here that even though there is an exemption of a zaken who would be not dignified for him to take that object, but if there is a mitzvah to go with l'fnei mishur hasadin to return it. Right? There's a mitzvah to go with l'fnei mishur hasadin and return the object. That's what we see. Shmuel b'Rav Yosi. The Rush learns the opposite from this. The Rush says the opposite from this case. He says, you see from this Gemara that you are not allowed to help, you're not allowed to return something if it'll put you in a compromising position because it won't be covered at Torah. What right do you have? So you're a Talmud Chacham, you're a Rosh Hashiva, and you're going and belittling Torah by doing things that are compromising to a Talmud Chacham. You have no right to do that. And that's why you are Yishmael Bar Yossi. Why didn't he pick it up and put it on his back? Because he wasn't allowed to. What he did was, he gave him the money for it. So the Rush and the Ramah Paskin, okay, you feel bad that it's Zaken extent of Hirodi, you have a heter, but you feel bad leaving this person stranded, you're not allowed to belittle, to compromise your position as a Talmud Chacham and return it to him. But what you should do is, you should pay him for it. If you see who owns this object. So don't, you know, look at to see who owns it, see the name on it. So go to him and say, I saw your object out there. I didn't want to pick it up. I wasn't allowed to pick it up because I'm a Talmud Chacham. So here's the money for it. I want to do this with the Mishra Sedin, even though I'm not obligated. Right, so it's interesting that looking at this Gemara, there's like opposite ways of looking at it. The Rambam says, oh, you see, just the Mishra Sedin, you have to return it. The Ramah says, you see from here, he didn't return it. He just paid for it. So that's what the Mishra Sedin is, to pay for the object, if you know who the owner is. Now, if you don't know who the owner is, so then the Shulchan Aruch says, you're like kind of stuck here. Whatever you do, you're going to be doing an Isser. If you return it, you're going to do an Isser of being Mezalzel in Torah. If you leave it there, you won't have fulfilled the Mitzvah HaShavas Aveda. So he says, the best thing is to do nothing. But you know, then you're really stuck. Now, the post can point out that the Rosh's halacha is only true if you're Talmud Chacham, right? We said the heter of Zaken Leinef, the Pishma, it is one of the rayas they bring that the Rosh holds it only applies to a Talmud Chacham. But we paskin that it really applies to anyone who's dignified. He's dignified because of his wealth, his yichus, his position in the workplace, right? That's his dignity. So then, the Poskim all say that even the Rosh, who says that you can't put yourself in a you're not allowed to put yourself in a compromising position, that's only if it's because of Torah. That'll be a zulzul in your Torah to put yourself in such a position. But if it's because of some other reason, because of your wealth or some other dignity that you have, so then if you, even though you're exempt from the mitzvah HaShavas Aveda, you don't have to put yourself in a compromising position. But if you want to, you're certainly allowed to. It's only if there's a shayla of chilul Hashem that the Talmud Chacham is doing it. That's where the Ramah says you shouldn't do it. But if it's for most of us, that wouldn't be an issue. It just might be other things that are undignified, like the muddy coat. And you know, to us, it could be undignified to carry around some muddy coat. But certainly, if you want to go with Nimish or Sadin, we'd be allowed to, even according to the Ramah. Now, an issue the Chavis Yoyer or others talk about is, like, how is this different than, you know, you have a lot of Gemara's house, certain Amoraim would cook themselves for Shabbos, and then we know the mitzvah is for a person to build a sukkah himself, and not to hire someone. Even the biggest Talmud Chacham will go out and build his own sukkah. Chavis Yoyer has a shayla, can a Talmud Chacham be can he play music at a chasana? To do that mitzvah, is that called a bizarion? Is that compromising his stature as a Talmud Chacham? So we see that there are instances. David HaMelech danced. He was mevazes of Michal. Said, how can you do that? You're a Talmud Chacham, right? He danced in front of the Aron HaKodesh, right? So how can we say? How can the Ramah say? Well, there is a prohibition. You're not allowed to be mezalzel the Kavod HaTorah. And we see all these cases where people did were mezalzel to do a mitzvah. So one simple answer is to say that that's when there was a mitzvah. But if you hold that a zaken shein lefi chavodo, there's no mitzvah to return Shabbos, to return this object, so then you have no right to, if you're a Talmud Chacham, to compromise your Torah, to belittle your Torah by doing something that's not a mitzvah. These people, there's a mitzvah to build a sukkah, there's a mitzvah to dance in front of a sefer Torah, so that you could be mezalzel. And others say that it depends if it's made Adam Lamakum, if it's a mitzvah that's made Adam Lamakum, so then if Hashem gave the Torah, so you're doing a mitzvah for Hashem, that's not called belittling yourself for the mitzvah. It's something being Adam Lachaveiro, between a man and another man, so then people looking at you won't realize that you're doing a mitzvah. They think you're just carrying something stam. They won't know that you're doing it as a mitzvah. So that's why there would be a belittling of the Torah in that case. Now, one last point. We learned before that, like we said, that in these other cases, there's a betzin will force someone to go to the Mishra Sadin in order to return it. Like if it's Rov Akum, Zutu Shayam, these other cases, even though they don't have to return it, but if you know the owner of Bezin will force you with Nimish or Sadin, So over here, no one says that Beis Din will force you to return it. Because once again, there, you knew who owned the object. You know who owned the object, or if you don't, and it's his object and you got it without doing anything, so there. Beis Din says, why should you take this thing that you got without any tircha? Give it back to the owner. Right? And you should give it to him. But over here, we're not asking you, you're not trying to keep it for yourself over here. Here you're just asking not to have to be mezalzel yourself, to not to embarrass yourself, to go put yourself in a compromising situation to return it. You're going to leave it out there. You're not keeping it for yourself. But in those cases, we said, even though according to halacha you could keep it for yourself, but why should you keep property that you know belongs to someone else? The Pnimah Shurus didn't return it. Over here we're saying, you're saying, I don't want to go out there and embarrass myself in that compromising situation. So there's a mitzvah to the Pnimah Shurus Adin, if there's no problem of Torah, of Hashem, of Zilzul and Torah, there's a mitzvah of Pnimah Shurus Adin. If you want to put yourself in a compromising situation, you should go and do it. But the Beis Din won't force you to do it, because the Beis Din can't force you to put yourself in a compromising situation. Just let it stay out there. And so even though there is the Pnimah Shurus Adin, it's different than before. Here it's a voluntary the Pnimah Shurus Adin, but no one will force you to do it. So just wrapping up, we have now learned the first case, the first type of object where you're not allowed to keep it, but you're also not obligated to return it, and that is if it's something that would put you in a compromising position on dignified. So the halacha is there's a gzeiros hakasuv that the mitzvah seseh does not apply. We learned the litmus test, how to find out whether this fits that description. We saw there are exceptions in both directions. Sometimes even if it's your own object, you would leave out there. Your friends, you'll have to take. Sometimes even if yours, you might take. Your friends, you're not obligated to take. And then we've discussed this issue of the Pnimah Shurus Adin. Us as Ashkenazim would go with the Ramah. And if it's a real Tamatokam, he should not put himself in a compromising position, even to return the object.